Thank you for joining me today. My name is Russ Marin. I'm the pastor of Monclova Road Baptist Church. Have you ever had anyone tell you that now that they are saved, they do not sin anymore? I've heard that before, and I want to share this Bible verse with you. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So I take that to mean that a person, even though you're saved, you still struggle with sin. And we should be sinning less and less as we grow in Christ, but we will always have a sin nature until God takes us to heaven. Today I'm in 1 John chapter 1, and let's go right now to the church auditorium for today's message.
That's good news, because Christ says that your salvation is held by the power of God. It says no one can pluck you out of my hand, that your salvation is sealed by the power of God. Do you agree with me? That is good news. My salvation is not dependent upon me hanging on to God. My salvation is dependent upon God having a hold of me and not letting go. Now watch this. Sin, if you come to verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Counting this verse and the next five verses, sin is mentioned 9 times. It says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us." So what is sin? Well, sin is outward disobedience, just disobeying what you know God has told us to do. Sin is an inner rebellion against God. Sin is the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. Sin is refusing to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that when Christ died on the cross, that he satisfied a holy God. He satisfied the holy law of God. A just God demands that our sin be paid for. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, he satisfied God. The penalty, the payment had been made. But when you and I sin, we break fellowship with God. So if you're going to have joy in your heart, going to have joy in your life, you have to eliminate the sin. But the problem is, all of us have a sin nature. And I believe, my own personal belief, is that you and I sin almost every day, and probably many times a day. Things we do, things we don't do that we ought to, rebellion in our hearts, not submitting, we sin. So every time we sin, we break fellowship with Christ. What's the solution? Well, solution is given chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins." So, as a believer, when we sin, we break fellowship. How do you restore fellowship? You confess the sin. Now, I don't confess sin by praying with all of you and saying, "Lord, we've sinned against you." No, it's not we, it's me. I have sinned. I have sinned against the holy God. Confessing is getting you and God together and you agreeing with God that what you have done is sin against him. "God, I agree with you that I have sinned against you." And when I agree with God that I've sinned against him, he restores the fellowship and I'm back in fellowship with God. D.L. Moody said, if you sin while you're walking across the street, you should confess the sin before you get to the other side. That's the best time to confess it. So if I sin, I immediately confess my sin. You restore fellowship. But if you break fellowship and you don't confess the sin, then you're not in fellowship with Christ. And if you're not in fellowship with Christ, then you're not going to have joy in your life. That's why so many Christian people have an unhappy life. There is no reason at all for us, any of us as believers, to not have joy in our life. The only reason is if there's sin. It's unconfessed. You've not repented of your sin. So you can have all types of bad things happen, but you still should have the joy of Jesus Christ in your life unless there's sin. So you say, why am I so unhappy? There's probably sin in your life. It's unconfessed. You've not dealt with that sin. You've broken fellowship, and it's not been restored. We sang the song Amazing Grace just a little bit ago. The man that wrote that was John Newton. He used to be a slave owner, a slave trader, and then he got saved. He wrote this, "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am." Most saved people can say, "I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not as spiritual as I ought to be." Before I got saved, I wasn't worried at all about how I was living. I didn't feel guilty after I committed sin. But once I got saved, I immediately began to worry about, I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't do this thing. I shouldn't live that way. I shouldn't think that way. The unsaved person doesn't walk around worrying about whether they're saved or not. So if you have those concerns, "God, I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not even what I want to be," that's a good indication. You may have the Spirit of God living in you, and you're saved. You may not quite be in fellowship. I call it divine dissatisfaction. You're just not quite satisfied with where your life is spiritually. Sin's a dangerous thing in that sin almost will always make us a liar. Look at verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness," meaning walk in sin, "we lie." So you can do two things with sin. You can cover it up or you can confess it. When we try to cover it up, we immediately begin to lie. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie. Sin makes us a liar. If I am lying, if I'm living a lie, and I'm pretending to be in fellowship with Christ, I am a liar. If I don't even have to be saying anything. If I walk up here and I am living a lie, I am lying to you. I'm making a liar if I'm pretending that I am in fellowship. So sin makes us a liar. Look at verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves." We're the ones that deceive. No one else is deceived. The Bible says that we have a sin nature, that you and I have a sin nature. And if I say that I have no sin, then I'm denying what God has already said. We begin to rationalize our sin. And then verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us." Now, in verse 10, the people that say, "Hey, I've reached a point where I don't sin anymore," are generally people that get very critical of other believers. A critical spirit, you want to be real careful that you do not have a real critical spirit of other believers. Because it's a good indication that you are buying into the lie of verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned," if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. You're in a dangerous position spiritually if you reach a point where you have a very critical spirit of other people. Now I want to go to the next chapter just for a moment. "My little children," he's talking to believers here. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate." Now some people, not a lot, but some people try to teach that once you get saved, you'll reach a place of perfect. You won't sin anymore. That is foolishness. It's foolish because you still have a sin nature. You are not going to quit sinning 100% after you get saved. So John writes here, "My little children, These things write I unto you, that you sin not, that you don't live in sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, an advocate was a person that would come along beside you and be an advocate. In Zechariah chapter 3, the first 7 verses, Joshua is standing before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, and Satan comes up to him and accuses him of sin. And he's guilty. Yeah, I mean, he really is guilty. You know, Satan doesn't have to lie at the throne of God when he accuses us of sin, because we are sinners, right? So all Satan has to do is he goes to the throne of God. He accuses us of sin because we are sinners. But then the Bible says Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's our advocate. He comes along beside us. So in Zechariah chapter 3, the first 7 verses, it says that Joshua is standing at the throne of God, and Satan is there accusing him of sin, and Christ comes alongside. He becomes Joshua's advocate. He takes Joshua's place here, and has already paid for his sin. So watch this. It says, if any man sin, he's talking to believers now, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means that he has satisfied God the Father. Jesus Christ satisfied God the Father when he died on the cross and shed his blood. Verse 7 said, Christ has cleansed us from all sin, the precious blood of Christ. So Christ is the propitiation for our sins. He has paid for our sins. He has satisfied God. The blood has legally paid for our sin. He has satisfied the holy law of God. So here you are. You're living a Christian life. You're trying to live right. You've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life as Savior. You're trying to live right. And in the daily course of life, everyday life, you sin. You lust, or you covet, or you're greedy, or you're selfish, or you get angry. You sin. When you sin, you break fellowship with Christ. Now, you can do one of two things with that sin. You can cover it up, or you can confess it. You can do either one you want. You cover it up, you immediately become a liar. You've broken fellowship with Christ. You wonder why church isn't exciting. You wonder why Christianity is not exciting. And the reason is you're living in sin. You've never restored a fellowship. You've broken fellowship with Christ. And for some people, it has been so long since you've been to the throne of God. It's so long since you've been to God that it's your lifestyle now. You live a continual lie. You walk in here every Sunday living in sin. You've not confessed it. You've never restored fellowship with Christ. So you're out of fellowship, and you're unhappy. You're unhappy. This is a chore. This is a chore to be here. It is a chore to open up the Word of God and read it because you're out of fellowship with Christ. Second choice is you can confess it. If you confess it, you say, Lord, I confess to you that I just lied. I have just stolen something. I've coveted something. I confess my temper to you. I agree with you, God, it's sin. The moment you confess it, you've restored fellowship with Christ.